Continue to get set up, please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 4, as we'll be based out of Romans 4 tonight. Is faith a work? Is the short title of tonight's message. The long title is believing in, putting your faith in, or trusting in Jesus Christ a work? The other day I was involved in a conversation in which this question was asked. Is faith a work, or is believing on Jesus Christ a work? This question was answered in a relatively short manner by looking up a couple verses and drawing some conclusions. On Memorial Day Monday, I was hanging out with my parents over in Bowavik, and the conversation turned towards eternal security. And my father related in great detail the night that he knew for sure that he was saved. And as he told this story, and along with the question that happened a week or two earlier, I figured got me interested in answering this question, and we're going to dive into the deep end of the pool on this. But hopefully through this study you'll see the short answer, of course, is no, faith is not a work. But now you'll know why and where to go to look and have references handy if this question is ever asked of you. My father was a young soldier down in Louisiana in basic training. And he was getting ready to go on leave with all his buddies, and they were about to invade the local small town. Just like every platoon of army soldiers do on a weekend pass. And as everybody left the fort, or the base, and hurried into town, my dad went the other way. And he took a long walk by himself down a road. About a week or two earlier, he had heard the gospel in this small town. A faithful man ministered to the soldiers after the town would shut down for the night. He would stay up, and he had a pavilion where he could sit around and play cards and drink pop till the wee hours of the morning. And this man would walk around with a Bible and give the gospel to these soldiers that were not wanting to go back to base before they had to. My dad heard the gospel that night. He heard the bad news of his sinfulness and the eternal penalty that he was to pay. He then heard the good news that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sins, and because of this, God was offering him eternal life as a gift. And to make this his own, all he had to do was believe, put his faith in, put 100% of his trust in the fact that Jesus Christ got the job done. He heard that the resurrection of Jesus Christ proved that God and the Father was satisfied with Christ's payment and now was forever alive. This new information weighed heavily on my dad during the week of basic training. So again, instead of joining his buddies in town, he went for a long walk. He told me that he was lost deep in thought, mulling over things over and over, examining the facts, bringing them to their logical conclusion. As you can see, as I'm pretty sure is common to a lot of us, the process of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ to placing your faith in Jesus Christ takes some pondering. It takes some examining of the facts. It takes some coming to a conclusion, and it comes, and there's a decision that needs to be made. So when a verse like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is heard, "For by grace you are saved, not of works," it is not hard to imagine there might be a little confusion. That's the question tonight. Is believing in, putting your faith in, trusting in Jesus Christ a work? Tonight we will define the words faith and believe, and we will look and examine some verses and draw some logical conclusions. We're going to use grammar to deeply study some of these verses. And then we're going to look at Abraham as an example of a saved man. So with that, let us get into it. So let's define the words. First word I want to define is belief, or is faith, I'm sorry. And in the dictionary, it's defined as belief or trust in God. An expanded definition of this is allegiance to a duty or a person, a loyalty, belief or trust in God, complete trust. Faith is the Greek word pistis. And this word is translated faith 239 out of the 240 times it shows up in the New Testament. Strong's defines it as a conviction of the truth of anything or belief. Conviction of truth or anything belief. So. The next word I want to define is believe, which means to have religious convictions, to have a firm conviction about something, to accept as true. This is the Greek word pisteo, and the 239 out of the 248 times it shows up, it's translated as the word belief. The Strong's defines it as something to think to be true, to place confidence in. As I read all the definitions, and the reason I'm reading these is, as you go down the list, I'm trying to relate that, not only in the Greek, but also in the English, that belief and faith are very, very close related. To trust in Jesus, part of the definition, to trust in Jesus or God as able to aid either in obtaining or in doing something, a saving faith. Mere acknowledgement of some fact or event, an intellectual faith. So here's the Greek in the bold, and here's what it means in the English, where it's translated in the New Testament. As we can see, pisteo is to believe, to trust. Pistis is to faith and trust, and then the variations of them. And just to nail this one down, I looked up all the synonyms of faith and believe. And depending on which list you're looking at, 6 to 9 of the same words are used as synonyms for faith and believe. Believe in faith. So we can see that in both the English and the Greek languages that faith and believe are practically interchangeable and are very closely related. Now that we've defined believe in faith, we're going to look at some grammar. I know everybody's excited about this. But we're going to look at a conjunction. The conjunction is a word that connects word, clauses, sentences, or paragraphs. There are many types of conjunctions. And the ones we will discuss tonight are called a connective conjunction, which is used to connect an additional element or adds an additional idea to a train of thought. It uses the Greek words kai and de, and they're translated and also. Another conjunction that we'll see tonight is contrastive, and it suggests a contrast or opposing thought to the idea which it is connected. These are the Greek words alla, kai, and de, and they're translated but, rather, yet, through, and however. One is connects, one's contrasts. I'm sorry, did I have you guys turn to Romans? Could you turn to Ephesians 2, please? I bet. Now that we've defined the words and the type of words we'll be focusing on, let's take a close look at some verses. The first verse I would like to look at is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So what logical conclusions can we draw from this? Or as we look at the word "and" here, you've been saved through grace and not of yourselves. This "and" here joins the saved through faith and not of yourselves. It kind of adds to your... It adds to the thought of saved through faith. And, or also, and not of yourselves, or and then not of yourselves. We can see from this verse that we're saved through faith, not of works. So therefore, we can logically put this down. Saved equals faith. Not saved equals works. Conclusion, faith is not a work. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You don't have to turn there, but the next verse I want to look at is Galatians 2, 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. The word that is translated but is a, can be translated or said as except for the fact. It's a contrast. It contrasts. It's not joining them together. It's contrasting works of the law and faith, and by faith in Jesus Christ. So what are some logical statements we can draw from this verse? The conjunction here, but, indicates a contrast. Justification, from Galatians 2:16, is not by works. Justification is by faith. Therefore, faith is not a work. These are two verses that, and we will look at a third, but these are verses where the word faith and works are in them, and we can see how they're contrasted or the conclusion we can draw from them. Finally, please turn back to Romans 4, verse 5. Romans 4, 5 states, but to him that who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. If you look at verse 4 in your Bibles, the first word in verse 5 is a conjunction. And it's a logical contrastive that connects verses 4 and 5. So if we read verse 4, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But, logically contrastive or contradicting, to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. There was some difficulty studying this out in the Greek, but my understanding is this second word, this second conjunction, is also called an adversative conjunction. And it's used to express the contrast between an immediate clause and one preceding it. So the way I understand that is Our contrast of this word that's highlighted is work and beliefs. It's a marker of contrast. So what can we logically draw from this verse? Believe is faith. Believe equals faith accounted for righteousness or justification. Work equals faith that is not accounted for righteousness. Believe is not a work. And we know faith and belief are practically the same words, different nuances. So for the third time, we have seen stated plainly in the Word of God, faith is not a work, faith is not a work, belief is not a work. Please look in Romans 3:28, and follow along as I read verses 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation for His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because of His forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be the just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? No, by the law of faith. Therefore, Paul and we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. You can't say it any plainer than that, can you? We conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. The verses I'm about to give you over the pulpit here, these verses, if you want to write them down and look them up later, they all say that belief or faith equals saved, or all it takes is to get saved is believe. Now, they don't actually have the word works in the verses. So Galatians 3:26, for you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Again, these are additional verses. Galatians 3:22, but the Scripture has confirmed all under sin that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus Christ may be given to those who believe. We just read it, Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh shall be justified in his sight. So I want to move on now. And I want to look at grace and how they compare to works. So we'll look at how grace and works are contrasted. This is in Romans 4:4. We find this verse. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but debt. Now this conjunction is the Greek word Allah, and this indicates an emphatic contrast. This is a strong contrast. So we can conclude work / wages earned is equal to debt. Wages earned is not equal to grace. Grace does not equal debt. Sorry, I got all mixed up here. I have to catch up. Sorry. The next verse we want to look at under the grace and works contrasted is Romans 11:6, which states, "And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work." And just to continue on with my little equal signs and not equal signs, grace does not equal work. If grace did equal work, then grace would not equal grace. Works is not grace. If works did equal grace, then works would not be work. Logical conclusion. Grace and works are polar opposites. So now that we've established faith and believe, we've seen from verses that the faith is not works. We also established that grace and works do not equal each other. Let's take a look at the example of Abraham here in Romans 4, verses 1 through 4. "What shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted him for righteousness." So by faith, Abraham was counted, credited, or reckoned righteous. Okay. The NET version of Romans 4:3 says, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." The RSV says, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." So the question is we have Abraham here that's reckoned, credited, or accounted righteousness. Does that mean he was a saved man? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about that. The Bible says, in fact, Jesus states in Matthew 8:11, "Abraham will be in the kingdom of heaven. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." The context of this verse is a non-Jew or a Greek showed a bunch of faith in Jesus. And Jesus was stating that many non-Jews will come to the faith and sit down with Abraham versus many of his own countrymen. We can see from that that Abraham, as counted righteous, he will be in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus also states that he was in paradise after his death. The parable of Luke 16, verses 23 through 26, relates to us, "And the rich man, being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his tongue in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he, Lazarus, who is with hanging out with Abraham, is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between you and us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, though there are those that want to pass here that cannot, and those that from here cannot pass to us. Finally, for Abraham, Abraham is considered the father of all believers. Galatians 3:5-9 states, "Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you does it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." So we see the Apostle Paul refers to Abraham as a saved man. Jesus Christ refers to Abraham as a saved man. So we can conclude that Abraham was saved. And we saw from Romans 4, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Am I there already? And for me personally, as I thought about this, why would God do it this way? What would, other than He is the sovereign God of the universe, He can do whatever He wants, but why would he say in the Scripture, or how does this fit in with His ultimate plan, that faith is not a work, even though, as my father experienced and as some of you have experienced, that the process of from being unsaved to saved takes thought, it takes thinking, it comes to a conclusion. But what put the nail in the coffin for me was who gets glorified when somebody puts their faith, personally trusts or believes in Jesus Christ? And the answer is honor and glory and go to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The person that is saved or just gets saved is not glorified. God is glorified, and specifically the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified through this transaction. Would you please turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 for me to see that I got two references here. Ephesians chapter 1, 3-14. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, in Him." Verse 11, "In Him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will." Verse 12, "That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of our purchased possession, to the praise of His glory." To the praise, verse 12 and 14, to the praise of His glory. Jesus Christ is glorified. To see another reference to this, is turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, beloved brethren, by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth, to which you call, which He called you to our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, we ask the question and answer the question, is faith a work? And we saw specifically through three verses that faith is not a work. We saw that faith, believing in or trusting in, are absolutely necessary for a person to be saved. And we can logically imply and grammatically point out and sometimes just plainly stated that faith is not a work. We also saw that grace, an absolutely essential part of the gospel message, is the polar opposite of a work. The example of Abraham, without a doubt from the Bible, a man who is saved, was declared righteous, not because of any work, but because of his faith. Lastly, we saw that this is possible. This lines up with God's plan because God and Jesus Christ are the people that get glorified. When anybody in the world believes, trusts, or puts their faith in the fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, He paid the penalty that we owe, and He got the job done as proven by His resurrection. My father, at the end of his long 2 or 3 mile walk outside an army base in Louisiana, came to the same conclusion. As he thought about these truths, he worked out in his mind the logical end of everything, and he figured out what it meant to him personally. But we've heard and understood the gospel probably a week or two earlier. This was the night that he knew, without a doubt, that he had eternal life. That his faith, he was justified, he was declared righteous. And even 40 plus years later, as he relayed this story, you cannot help but glorify God and Jesus Christ. Because that's exactly what he did on Memorial Day Monday. So if the question ever comes up, is faith a work? We've got references and grammar to answer the question from the Bible. No. Faith is not a work because the Bible says so. And with that, I'm done. Let's pray. Dear Father, I'd just like to thank you for the Word of God and your inspired Word that tells us plainly and straight out that faith is not a work. And it is by faith that we come, that we get saved and we receive as a gift eternal life from you. Just thank you for that. Thank you that you explained multiple times that how this works and that you are the one that gets the honor and glory. Just thank you for the man that ministered to my father so many years ago and his willingness to give the gospel to a bunch of strangers, soldiers that were far away from home. Thank you that my father's heart was soft and that he believed the gospel message and he came home. And because of that, I grew up in a Bible-believing church where I've heard the gospel message my entire life. Just thank you for that and praise be to you in Jesus' name. Amen.